Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally Elcordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guest is going to be Bunny St. Marie, and she is a writer for VacTruth.com. Bunny St. Marie has started a Facebook page about, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago. It was one of the very first to bring attention to vaccine risk and promote advocacy. I joined it the minute I found out about it, and I've learned a lot from it. She also writes for VacTruth.com, and a list of the different articles she has written is posted directly under the screen for the radio show. I'm expecting her to call in momentarily, and I'm looking forward to it. I had an interview earlier today with a woman who started was one of the co-creators of Educate for the Injured. Her name is Charlotte Brammer, and she spoke about her daughter's her muscle wasting since the flu shot. I'm doing everything I can for October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, which this is, October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, and I'll be interviewing Marianne Hollinsworth Green, the co-creator, along with me next week. And she also started Truth About Gardasil. Oh, boy, my friend Bunny St. Marie is on the line now. I'm going to pick her up. Hi, Bunny.
Hi, Sally.
Well, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Sally, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, wait till you see the radio show. There's a great big cake on the front of it. I hope you get anything near that delicious looking today.
That sounds delicious.
So what are your plans for tonight? Can you reveal them, or do you not know quite yet?
It's undecided as of yet.
Well, that's fun, you know, not knowing until the last minute. But, well, this is October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, Bunny. And yes. If you would be kind enough to just give a message to the audience, and then we'll get into the particulars of your involvement.
Yes, okay. Well, as you know, I think regardless of, you know, whether or not you're for or against vaccines, you know, I think we can all agree that, you know, children are and have been injured by them. And so I think that's definitely something parents, especially parents, you know, who are sort of on the fence or considering vaccinating, you know, I think that's definitely something that they should be aware of.
Yes, I just interviewed a lady whose child was taken down by the flu shot, and they're pushing the flu shot so dramatically, and not only are you likely to get the flu from it, but there are a host
yes.
of other ailments as devastating as Guillain-Barré and as
yes.
devastating as this child's muscle degeneration, which she didn't
yes.
put together till months afterwards, because some of these reactions don't happen right away. So you don't understand.
That's right.
If you don't put the devastation your child is experiencing together with what you've been told was good for your child, completely,
yes.
I would like to say it's a mistake, but at this point I don't think any of this is a mistake. I think all the doctors, nurses, and healthcare workers know what they're doing, and they're doing
mm-hmm.
it anyway.
You know, and it's amazing the hostility that parents are met with when they simply question, you know, whether or not all these vaccines are necessary. And, you know, for asking, well, what's in them, you know, because I think more and more parents are becoming aware that, you know, there's quite a few on the schedule and are they really necessary? And it's just amazing the hostility that we're met with, like, you know, myself personally, when I first started questioning doctors, I wanted to know where they were getting their information from. And it's, you know, the hostility was just, it was quite surprising.
Well, doctors are also taught that, unlike, let's say, Dr. Wakefield, who everybody celebrates for listening
yes.
to his patients, this is really the
yes.
great celebration of Dr. Wakefield. He listened to us. he took
yes.
our concerns and looked further into it. But
mm-hmm.
But the doctors, I understand, are taught that you are all-knowing. What we have given you, false, although it may be, that is what you are to take with you, and it is to supersede anything a parent may bring to you. Now, tell us about how you were brought into this issue. I think this is wonderful, and I want you to tell me who gave you that book, because we have to celebrate that person.
Yes, certainly. It was actually a close relative of mine, my mother, in fact, who first introduced me to Dr. Robert Mendelsohn's book, and I remember this, and it was called his book, the one...
Raising a Healthy Child? Raising a Healthy Child?
In Spite of Your Doctor, yes, that's the one. You know, and I was very surprised when I read it, and that was what first initially started me on my journey, question vaccines, and, you know, are they really necessary? So that was a huge starting point for me.
Well, what is your mother's name?
Her name is Debbie.
Well, Debbie,
and so,
happy birthday to your daughter, Bunny, and yay that you were on the TV, that she was on the TV. I wish my mother didn't even figure out that my own sister was taken down by a vaccine until I was 50. That's how much misinformation there is out there.
Yeah, no, and I think a lot of people, you know, they don't question these things. We're taught from an early age, yes, they're safe, yes, they're necessary, you know, and there's, you know, the fact that they're safe, well, you know, people are getting hurt, and yet, you know, they can't figure out why. You know, they're not taught to investigate what's causing the injuries.
Well, I'm very concerned about the fact that people who have children in hospitals, like, I wonder, you know, I wish I could roll back the clock and know what happened to my children when they were born, because they're inoculated children without parents even realizing it. So let's, you were smart enough to know not to vaccinate because you read that valuable book, but did you know to keep an eye out for the healthcare workers that surrounded you, or when they took your baby away to weigh the child? I understand they're inoculating them there.
Yes, well, you know, and after I read that book, I didn't stop there. You know, like I said, I had questioned the doctors, but I wasn't content to just stop there. You know, I wanted to know where they were getting their information, and that's when the doors really started opening for me. And in my search for answers, it was quite interesting, just looking at some of the studies and finding out, you know, like things like aluminum, for instance, they really haven't been investigated, you know, for their role in potential autoimmune disorders. You know, you look at the studies and the evidence is there, and yet, you know, these children are getting injured, you know, and they're saying, yes, you know, this child had this injury after this vaccine, and, you know, we don't know, you know, why this is happening. We can't identify the mechanism, yet more and more children are being affected.
Well, what's very disturbing to me in terms of aluminum, I got a hand cream for my skin prescribed by a doctor, and I looked at the ingredients, and the first ingredient was aluminum. So there were five doctors in the room at the time. Everybody was looking at me as some kind of a case study, what was wrong with my hands.
Yes.
So I had five doctors in front of me. And I said, well, while you're all here, would somebody kindly tell me what the benefit of aluminum is?
Exactly.
And they literally stood there with their mouths agape, and I let them go for 10 minutes. I just thought, I'm not going to say until one of them does. And 10 minutes went by, and finally I thought, let's let this embarrassment stop. And I said, well, do you have an alternative cream that you could offer me that doesn't have aluminum as its first ingredient? So one of the doctors disappeared for half an hour, came back, and said, no, it doesn't exist.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. And they really have no clue. You know, when you confront them with these questions, it's as if they themselves don't know.
Well, I think their lack of curiosity is stunning. They're told they know everything, and yet when confronted with a simple question like, why is this the first ingredient and what benefit would it have, they can't answer that.
Exactly.
And also they're taught, from what I understand from Dr. Humphreys, three things in medical school, and I have repeated this multitude of times because it's kind of amazing. Number one, the vaccine schedule. That's not amazing, which, by the way, is 69 vaccines through the age of 18 for anyone who's not aware. And that does not even include the flu shot. That doesn't include the flu shot.
Nope.
That is recommended.
Nope. Or the Rh shot. Yep. Or the Rh shot that women are told that they need in pregnancy.
What is the Rh shot?
Okay, so that's the Rogam shot. So that is what pregnant mothers are told that they need to have towards the end of their pregnancy. And that is so that their bodies supposedly don't develop antibodies to their own fetus. What they don't tell you is that the odds of that actually happening, where the blood mixes with the baby's blood mixes with the mother's blood, is actually very, very, it's such a slim odd chances of that happening. You know, and that really only occurs in emergency situations where the child, you know, where the mother, the pregnant mother is injured, like, so where there's severe trauma, like a car accident or, you know, like a traumatic delivery. So instances like that, then it's a concern. But that's not, you know, that's not, I mean,
it's a very wild exception and certainly not the rule. I've never heard of this shot, so this must be new. When did they come up with this?
As far as I know, it's been around for a while, and this has been a concern. And it does pose a threat, you know, babies who are Rh negative. But, sorry, got little ones in the background here. So it does pose a concern, but not until the baby's, you know, after the delivery. And
in the medical books, it says you don't vaccinate a pregnant woman.
Right.
You know, and so how can they justify this, even if there was a bona fide concern, if rule number one is that you don't vaccinate a pregnant woman, why are they coming up with vaccines for pregnant women when it's taboo? Well, let me tell you the other two things they teach you. They teach you the vaccine schedule, how to coerce parents into accepting vaccines, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How to talk down to them, how to pat their shoulder, how to, you know, I mean, please, it's like a marketing force. And the third, this one is unforgivable, how to deny that adverse reactions are linked to the vaccine. Don't you think a medical student would wonder, why am I being taught how to deny that an adverse reaction is linked to a vaccine? Wouldn't that set off some bells, you think?
You would think so. But, you know, they don't. They just they accept what they're taught, and I don't think – I mean, I know of some who are beginning to question – you know, I know of a few doctors who are now vaccine-friendly towards their patients and accepting of their decisions because they get it and they see it.
Well, it's
but
high
still,
time. They,
you know,
they're the last people on earth who – and, you know, this physician's warranty of vaccine safety has all the ingredients there. So you can find this physician's warranty of vaccine safety on 50 different websites. And I tell people, anybody who's putting that on their website, park yourself in front of that website for 24 hours and learn what else they have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so now your children, thank goodness, praise me, are unvaccinated.
Yes, I have four, and all four are unvaccinated, completely unvaccinated. So, you know, and I really think that I really feel like I'm indebted towards the parents of vaccine-injured children for speaking out and for having the courage to share their stories and, you know, spare some children and, you know, parents who do question vaccines and vaccine safety.
Right.
You know, I know from my personal experience with my children, you know, I think they're definitely a testament to for being unvaccinated. There isn't asthma, there aren't allergies, you know, they don't get the frequent ear infections that, you know, a lot of their peers are affected with. They don't have the same conditions, you know, they get ill, they get the flu and they recover, you know, and they're not left with like the lingering symptoms like cough and, you know, they're on their feet so much quicker. It's just remarkable the difference. You know, you can
right.
really
and
see it.
The ear infections are a particular, that one's rampant among children who've been vaccinated. Am I correct?
It is. Yes. You see so much of that.
Now,
they also won't be
getting autism, and they also will probably not be getting cancer, and they probably won't be getting diabetes, and they probably won't be going blind or deaf. And I mean, what's the roster of things that can happen as a result? It's endless. They won't have fibromyalgia. And, you know, all of the things that now also your children are probably they're probably unmedicated, unlike all these vaccine-injured children who on top of the vaccine injury are being given all these medications, and many of them are poisonous. So,
you start getting the infections, and so then they start taking the antibiotics, you know. And from my own personal experience, I was on antibiotics quite frequently as a child, and it absolutely just destroyed my immune system. You know, I get chronic infections all the time, and have had to slowly rebuild and repair the damage that was done because of the antibiotics.
Well, I was listening to a post the other day of a child who was taking 13 medications.
And I thought,
my Lord, and your children, unvaccinated, are on no medications. Am I correct about
that's
that?
That's correct. Yes, that's absolutely correct.
I was also speaking to Kim Spencer of the Thinking Moms Revolution. She was saying one in two children now has a chronic disease.
Yeah, and now the odds for autism are 1 in 50. Like, it's just unbelievable. It used to, I think the figures just a few years back were, it was 1 in 100, and, you know, in just this short amount of time, it's now risen to 1 in 50. In some areas, it's, you know, 1 in 30, if not more, depending on, you know, and I think I think vaccines definitely contribute, especially in susceptible children. And people argue, well, my children are vaccinated and they're fine. Well, that's great, but, you know, that doesn't take into consideration the fact that, you know, there very well may be susceptible children out there who are being exposed to toxins and these chemicals and being damaged, you know.
Well,
and
also, your children,
it's not just about autism.
Now, your children are apparently fine. You don't know.
Yes. Now.
It's coming yet. Right. And in fact, my sister, who was severely mentally retarded from a vaccine, I remember my mother saying that her life expectancy is expected to be abbreviated, that often retarded children, and it, mind you, she didn't realize her daughter was taken down by a vaccine, but abbreviated to, like, in their 40s. And I was so aghast. In fact, she died in her early 20s.
Oh,
yeah,
so sad.
So that's abbreviated.
Wow.
So, yeah, and so there she was, a normal, healthy child turned into somebody who did not even realize I was her sister, whose life was vastly abbreviated. So we have got to stop this madness, and prevention is the way. We must prevent parents from accepting vaccines by educating them. This is an all-consuming task for you, for me, and for a multitude of our friends.
Yes, yeah. You know, and it's to me, vaccines are, they're like adding water to an almost full pot, you know, and in some cases, I mean, you look at our environment and how contaminated it is, and you know, you look at our food and our water, the pesticides they use on our food. I mean, so our kids today are being bombarded with these toxins. It's unavoidable. Yes, you can't avoid a lot of the exposure, but you don't have to add to it. You don't have to make it worse. I mean, where is that tipping point? We really don't know. So it's like a gamble. It's literally like Russian roulette.
Exactly. That's what I just had a conversation with a friend of mine who boasted he had gotten his flu shot after I've been sending him emails for 5 years telling him everything but. And I thought, well, first of all, don't come near me because you're contagious. And, you know, but that's a good thing to say to people who've done this. Oh, you have?
Yes.
Well, I'll talk to you in 3 weeks. Come near me in 3 weeks because you're shedding all over me and I don't need to get sick. Thank you very much. But this is, I mean, at this point, I'm getting rude because I cannot tolerate when people, I speak out of concern for their well-being and then they flaunt in my face that they have disregarded my warning. And so I don't feel compelled to be polite at that point.
Yeah. And it's too bad because, you know, I mean, people are going to do what they believe and what they were taught is necessary. And it's when you can see past that, it's actually really quite liberating to not have to worry. You know, when you look at the odds ratios and you see what your children's odds of actually getting these supposed vaccine preventable illnesses are, it's the odds are so rare that firstly your child will even contract measles. There haven't even been measles in my province here in Alberta. There have been no measles cases this year. There was one measles case reported back in 2011, and I think maybe a couple measles cases reported in 2010. So I mean, the odds of our children even getting these diseases are so, so slim. And then,
You get over the measles. You don't get over autism.
No, you don't. And it's not just about autism. People argue, it's why are you concerned about autism? Well, yes, that's one concern, but there are so many other concerns, health concerns and health reasons not to inject your children with these toxins. I mean, you look at the polio fiasco back when polio vaccines were introduced, you know, and how they were contaminated with SV40, you know, and now you look at, like, the Gardasil vaccines and how they were contaminated with pieces of pig virus, you know, so we don't know what these particles will do. I mean, why would we want to subject our children to this and have them take part in this massive experiment as if they were guinea pigs?
And tell us, Bunny, who's responsible if anything goes wrong?
The parents.
Right. Not the pharmaceutical companies, not the doctors.
No. Of course not.
Nobody. Right. Well, it shouldn't be, of course not. For the longest time, only vaccines was the only pharmaceutical product that accepted no liability. The Supreme Court upheld that they should be protected because they were afraid they'd stop making vaccines. I say let's overturn that yesterday.
Exactly. I'm completely with you on that. They need to be held accountable. I mean, you don't...
Well, it was ridiculous. It was my goal. I want to ban vaccines. And if the pharmaceutical companies were held accountable, it would ban vaccines. It would all be over tomorrow.
I agree. I really think so, too. Because there wouldn't be any money in it anymore. There wouldn't be any profit. And I think that's essentially another thing vaccines are geared to do. They're geared to bring in these profits for, you know, once you vaccinate, you're basically a customer for life.
Exactly. Well, you know, there were so many things that my children have suffered from that I didn't know until I started to get active. What, you know, like my son suffers terrible allergies. He had breathing problems. Well, you know, believe me, it's not as bad as so many other situations. I don't even complain about it because it's one of the lesser problems you can have from vaccine. So, you know, my sister was certainly, she was so beyond control, no one could handle her. She was just completely out of control. And, yeah, she wound up in an institution, I'm very sorry to say, and we find out years later that this institution used to experiment on the children with vaccines, which is probably why she died as young as she did.
And that wasn't an uncommon practice back then either. You know, the early polio vaccines were used on disabled and mentally challenged children.
Well, my sister was not born mentally challenged, but she certainly wound up that way. And and I just saw as it turns out, concurrent with the increases in the vaccines because the pharmaceutical companies held no liability, there was no holding them back for pushing more of their product on our kids. So the minute the liability was lifted, the number of vaccines increased, what, fivefold? Unbelievable amount of increase in vaccines.
Yes.
And with that increase came increased injury and increased autism and brain damage and all the other things. And I just started to notice all these kids on the street. I was like, why all of a sudden is everyone reminding me of my sister? And I started to stop them and say, you know, my sister was severely mentally retarded. What's the matter with your kid? Because I really needed to know why all of a sudden there seemed to be a flood of kids who reminded me of my sister. And all of them would say a series of things, and somewhere in the conversation they'd say, but the doctor said it wasn't the vaccine. So that's how I woke up. I woke up in the fact that everybody I stopped, somewhere in that conversation, made that comment.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Isn't it? I met a woman with 4 autistic children in the pizza parlor the other night, Bunny.
Wow.
The fifth one was not autistic because by then they didn't care what the doctor said. They didn't care what pinochle was thrown at them. They knew in their heart it was the vaccine, but 4 children went down in one family before the fifth one was spared.
Finally spared. Wow.
80% of her family is autistic.
Unbelievable.
I know. That's why I'm not giving the doctors a pass. How in the whole wide world could they not know?
Yeah, and, you know, it's amazing to me that the lengths that some of the vaccine proponents, especially the more outspoken ones, will go to promote these things and to push them on, you know, parents who are questioning or thinking twice. You know, I actually have an upcoming article on VacTruth about that. I don't want to give away too many details, but it does discuss the lengths that these vaccine proponents go to in promoting these vaccines. And it's just unbelievable.
Well, I'm definitely interested to read that article. The last article that you did write, though, I have it on my other computer. What's the name of the most recent article you wrote?
Oh, yes, that was on VacTruth a while ago, and discussed...
A vaccine resistant pathogen putting your child at risk.
Yes. And that discusses the possibility of vaccines creating more virulent and deadly pathogens. By now everyone's familiar with how antibiotics are basically, they're a victim of their own success. They were able to treat these infections in patients and, you know, clear up the infection, yet they also created more resistant strains of bacteria and increased people's risks of developing, super infections like MRSA and a couple of the super bugs that now, are affecting people, especially in hospitals. And so we're seeing a lot more of these super bugs emerging. Now we're seeing viruses adapting and adjusting because of vaccines. They're basically paving the way for more virulent forms of illness to emerge. And they're actually increasing your risk of getting these, more serious forms of it.
Well,
and we've seen this.
You also have written articles about the 5 or 10 biggest stories of the month of each month.
Yes.
Having done that, what would you say
yes.
is the biggest story of the past year?
Oh, wow. There's been so many. It's hard to say. Certainly with past years, there's been all kinds of, it seems like every year there's a new big story and all the headlines are basically all over it. I know last year it was the CDC scientist, Paul Thorson, who was indicted for fraud. Can you believe it? One of the biggest vaccine researchers, he was researching the connection between vaccines and autism, charged with fraud. So what does that tell you?
Well, I have a question. Maybe you have the answer and maybe not. But I had read an article in Age of Autism that dates back to possibly 2011, where they say that he is detained in Denmark. What the heck is he doing? Waiting on extradition. He's one of the FBI's 25 most wanted. And what's he doing in Denmark? Why is he in Denmark? Can't they afford a flight to get him back here and bring him to trial? No, they can't. When that goes to trial, all of the science will be exposed, and they'd just rather leave him in Denmark. You stay there in Denmark where we don't have to,
You just be quiet over there and just stay there, and hopefully everyone will forget about him, right?
Well, maybe we should do a fundraiser, bring Thorson to justice.
Yes.
We're raising money for the airfare that, for the FBI, since he's one of their 25 most wanted, right? So we're going to raise money for the FBI to be able to fly Thorson right back here and explain himself. We have a lot of questions.
Yes, and that's actually not a bad idea. It really should be just that simple. He should definitely be held accountable.
Right. We want to help the FBI. We want to raise funds to make sure they have the airfare to bring him home so that we can bring him to trial. And imagine how many autism parents will be available for that trial. Everybody will take it. Okay, I've got vacation time coming. Not that anybody who's got an autistic kid can work. Not like they can work. They've got their hands full, round the clock.
Yes.
And everything that their child needs is not covered by insurance, and everything they don't need is.
No, and I think that's another thing. People don't realize how severe autism can be. They think there seems to be this general idea that, these children are just quirky or they've seen it portrayed on movies as though, like the movie Rain Man, where they're gifted and they can do these things, but that's quite an exception. That's very rare. These children are sick. They are suffering. They are in pain. I have friends whose children are affected, and whose children are severely, severely ill. They have gut issues. They have they have diarrhea. They're nonverbal, so they can express themselves. They get frustrated. They injure themselves because they're in pain and they can't express themselves.
Well, I went out to lunch with an autism mother and her son, and this was the second time she had taken him out, and he, I guess, was around 10 or 12. She bought five or eight brand-new trucks. toy trucks just to distract him so she could have a moment of peace. He ripped through those packages in no time flat and immediately started to act out. Now, she said to me, he's doing very well. I said, really? She said, last time I took him to a restaurant, he just banged his head against the wall the whole time. So this time, when we sat down, she got a double shot in her drink. She said, I have to do that because you'll see, I won't be able to finish my drink. So I have to have a double shot for the amount that I do get to drink so that I actually do get a drink. I'm like, really? So before the food came, she had to take him outside five times because he was so unruly. But every time he acted out, she and I would say, don't vaccinate, don't vaccinate. And, because we thought, well, you know, and everybody's eyes were like literally popping out of their heads. But our message was very clear. Our message was very clear. Don't vaccinate, don't vaccinate.
I think it's eye-opening to people who are unaware of the situation. And for people who don't really know much about autism or, you know, its connection with vaccines, it's definitely eye-opening.
Right. And when a child is hitting their head against the wall, it's because their head is hurting, you know. So there they are further hurting themselves because they're hurting inside.
Yes.
It's just, and they can't communicate, as you say, which is all the more frustrating not knowing how to you know, say what's wrong. So the one thing, a friend of mine who has an autistic child, she said the only thing that is beneficial about the Gardasil vaccine is that these girls can still talk and they can describe the upset that they are experiencing internally. Where autistic children cannot, they're usually too young and they don't have verbal skills. So even though there may be different outcomes, there may be some similarities, and they are getting a window into what their children are experiencing.
Yes.
Your mom came through for you in a way that nothing else she's ever done for you could even compare to giving you that book before you had a child.
Yeah, I can't imagine what. You know, I'm very, very grateful for that, and I'm very grateful to the parents who do speak out about this and, you know, and have, like I said, have the courage to share their stories because, yes, we do listen, we do pay attention, and it does make a difference, and I think my children are a testament to this.
Well, I want to thank you for all of the activism that you have shown over the years. And for your wonderful group that I have learned so much from and met so many interested, caring individuals. So you are one of the first. So you do not even have a vaccine-injured child, which is the norm. The norm is that parents of vaccine-injured children create websites. And just like Back Truth, Jeffrey Ouster Heidi, his child is vaccine-injured. And I want to always say, in terms of Back Truth, one of my favorite sites, backtruth.com, and it's because when you first open the emails that come to you, and you can get on their email list, and you'll get Bunny's writings along with their other excellent writers, but the minute you open the email, what pops up? What are the ingredients in vaccine? That is the crux of what's wrong is what's in them. These toxins you wouldn't want to be in the same room with, let alone injected directly to the child's bloodstream. It's so obvious what they are doing to our children.
Yes, and it's interesting to note, one thing that I found interesting was that flu vaccines are disposed of as federally hazardous waste. They are classified as federally hazardous waste. That means they cannot be discarded in a regular trash dump, but they have to be discarded in an appropriate fashion for hazardous waste.
Perfect. Yes. In fact, I remember when the flu shot here in New York, I remember saying, just bring them directly to the hazardous waste dump. Don't stop and inject anyone with them. Just bring them directly there. But I don't know if you recall on Saturday Night Live, they had a skit, and I want everyone to go to YouTube and find it, called Little Pound Cake or Lil Pound Cake. and it was about the HPV vaccine.
Yes, I remember that.
And at the end of it, they dispose of it in a hazardous waste container.
Yes, I remember that one.
Well, I was so grateful. I wrote a letter to Lorne Michaels to say thank you for addressing this. It's hard.
Wow.
I'm a comic, but I cannot think of anything funny about this. So I'm glad that he introduced this through any way we can get the message out, even through irony, is welcome. And I actually wrote a letter to thank him because why do we have to deliver the genuine, real news through these humorous outlets? I'm glad for that reason. But, you know, you can't get the real news except on a funny news show. You can't get the real news except through Saturday Night Live. Okay, I'll take it. So, well, we have a few minutes left, Bunny. If there's a specific message that you feel people need to hear, my message is 49 doses of 14 shots through the age of 5 will kill our children. What message do you have?
Just, I guess it would be to investigate before you vaccinate. Really know what it is you're injecting, why you're doing it, and to make sure, you know, you're aware that, you know, once you do vaccinate, it's not something that can just be undone. So just really question and consider whether, you know, you believe health can truly be attained through a needle.
Right, exactly. And I have evaluated that for myself, and it has brought me to say ban vaccines 2013. I mean, and I always say, you know, if the vaccine was presented as it should be, would you like a life-stealing vaccine? No, it's presented, would you like a life-saving vaccine? Hence the lie. It is a lie. There is nothing life-saving about a vaccine. And as Bunny says, do the investigating yourself. I would recommend, please, you go to my blog also, BillionToddlerMarchForSurvival.blogspot.com. Our legislation is banned in 2013. I ask you to bring it to your legislators and hand it out in the streets because it lists the ingredients, the diseases that result, and the intent to cause these deadly diseases. So there's nothing left to find, my friends. We must protect the children or we will have no future.
Exactly. So true. Yeah. And I think there's some great ways to raise awareness about this. You know, personally, you know, whether regardless of your situation, there's always a way for people to speak out and to help educate others, you know, whether that's through online media, or, I mean, writing articles, writing, you know, as you said, you wrote a thank you letter to show your appreciation for the message that was brought out on Saturday Night Live. So it's so simple to just, you know, encourage others, show your support, and get that message out there.
Right. Well, thank you very much for coming on for your birthday. And for October Injury Awareness Month, which we are...
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Please go to International Vaccine Injury Awareness and download our flyer and ask shop owners to post it in their windows because we have to combat those giant signs in every drugstore across America. And people will do it. If you put some informative links like backtruth.com on the back, and say, please investigate this. And if you agree that there is reason for concern, won't you kindly post this flyer in your window to alert parents and show concern for the store owners themselves? Because I'm as concerned for their children as I am for everyone who's listening and their children, you know? So it's not a faux step to say, I am concerned about your children. I'm concerned about the survival of humanity. You know, including your children.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's something that affects all of us. So, yes.
Well, thanks again, Bunny St. Marie. I appreciate your coming on the program today, Public Advocate. And keep up the good work, and I'm looking forward to the article that you will be publishing shortly.